We continue the general theme that we have been pursuing in these morning meditations of taking a very simple biblical question and seeing its relevance and application to ourselves. And the question I want us to consider this morning is there in verse 38 of the passage we read together. Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the stern of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? These studies looking at a very simple but a spiritual question, they have been confronting us and challenging us in our own spiritual journey and our own spiritual state. Sometimes when we come to a sermon or sit in a service, sometimes we can very quickly think that the sermon is too difficult. It's handling too complex an issue. Sometimes we think that the teaching or the material of the sermon is just a way above our heads. Perhaps we think that the sermon is meant for someone else, but not for me. And so these devices, and there's many others we can think about, they are so often used by us, different ways, trying to be comfortable as God speaks through a sermon. We try to be comfortable. And we put the defenses up. But these questions over these past Sunday mornings, they deny us that kind of protection. God is getting behind the defense when he asks a simple question. For example, asking the question of Adam in the garden, where are you? And the echo of that comes to ourselves, where are we? Or again, the Ethiopian eunuch on the road going down home from the city of Jerusalem. And he was asked a simple question as he read the prophecy of Isaiah. Do you understand? And the echo comes, do we understand the Bible and its meaning and its significance to us? So that's the kind of experience that we had over these past Sunday mornings, where God is putting us on the mark. God has been meeting us closely and speaking powerfully and personally to us through simple questions. But this morning, it's a slightly different question. Or at least, it's a slightly different situation in the sense that the question comes from a man or from men and not from God. Here is a question addressed by the people in the boat to Jesus as he was asleep at the stern of it. It's a question that arises out of a great danger that they were in. They were facing death. It wasn't a little storm in a teacup. It wasn't a minor ripple on the pond. Here was a ferocious, intense storm breaking upon them. And the question they had to ask was, does God care? And we can see the question immediately coming to ourselves. Because when we are awakened by God, when God works in your life and in mine, when we begin to see and to understand ourselves in spiritual colors, when the things that have occupied us and the veneer and the wallpaper that we put upon our lives, when all of that is stripped away, when God dismantles our lives and takes us right down to the chassis, when God shows us not the superficial things about our lives, but when God shows us what we're like in here, what we're like in our souls, when God awakens us then, and we begin to see our spiritual problems, we understand something about what sin is, and we are profoundly uncomfortable. We are convicted. We're concerned about it. Try as we will, we cannot push it out of our lives. Try as we will to engage in other things, we can't get rid of it. The thought there lingers with us when we're going about our daily business. If we've got a quiet moment through the day, it pushes in before us and it confronts us. And it's constantly challenging us. And it's a storm in our lives. And the same experience is repeated when we think about eternity. When we begin to realize what eternity is. And especially of spending eternity without God. Spending it not in heaven but in hell. When we think of that possibility for me, that again is a storm. When we ask the question, how can I be right with God? When the things of God and His holiness, when the things of God and His power and His might, when the things of God and the spiritual teaching of the Bible, and the things that we've been taught for year after year after year at home, in Sunday school, in church, in our reading, when these things begin to intrude and push their way into our life, when these things begin to get into our thinking, then we really do have a storm in our lives. And we're looking for peace. And we're looking for rest. And we're looking for pardon. And it's not coming. Then we can turn just like these people did. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Does God care for a soul like me or like you? When God has been at work awakening us and showing to us our spiritual need, when we've come through that concerned phase, when we've come through that conviction of sin, when we've come through it and there's a storm day after day brewing and billowing up in our lives, does God care about us? That's the question that often slips out of our soul. So we have these words, and let's look at this incident and see what we can get out of it for ourselves this morning. There are different ways in which we can take this and its application to us. We've at length explained one of them there just now. But it can come, a storm can blow up from so many different sources. There are times when we're tired. There are times when we're downcast and despondent. There are times when we've been working hard and we've got barren days to show for all our labor and our sweat. There are times when memorials and memories and birthdays and anniversaries come in upon us. There are times when we remember things of the past that we thought that we'd forgotten. There are so many different sources for a storm coming upon us. And these storms so often refine us and test us. The little boat of our life will be battered. The sails will be shredded and torn perhaps. Water might be lapping over the edge of the boat. Whatever be the nature of the storm, we are in dire straits. And we call out to the Lord, Lord, do you care? Do you care that we're perishing? Sailors, here they were. And we can always see, we can see here rather the way in which the storm broke upon them. And they were alarmed and frightened. And they had this fearful prayer coming out of, a forceful prayer coming out of fearful circumstances. Their minds were focused now. Nothing was going to get in the way. That's the effect of a storm upon them. It filters things out. It makes us think of what's important. When life is going quietly and peaceful, there are so many distractions that we can be enticed by. And there are so many things that we can be drawn away by. But when a storm comes, then that storm gets our focus. And we immediately think about what's important. And we immediately start thinking about what's urgent and what needs to be put right. Nothing gets in the way. Our very life depends upon it. We're looking for safety. They were looking for safety in the shore, or at least out of the storm. So also ourselves, when God awakens us to our spiritual need, everything else goes by the board. We won't be distracted as we once were. We're looking for that peace that alone we need, and we know that God can give. But does he give it? Carest thou not that we perish? Here then we have, and I want four simple thoughts to leave with you out of this experience. First of all, we already tried to describe it in our own experience, but let's look at it, the fearful storm. The fearful storm. The Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level. And in the cool of the evening, the air rushes down the valleys that come into the Sea of Galilee. And these rivers of cold air, as it were, coming down onto the sea, they can produce both violent and intense squalls. They can arise, the fearful storm can arise quite suddenly. It can be a calm day. It might even be calm spreading into the evening. But in a moment, it's all change. They're pitched into a fearful swell. And there's no indication of its coming on the horizon at all. Sudden. It's threatening. It's not a slight thing of us, just a little breeze. It's not just the ripple of the wave has got a bit higher. Their very survival is under question. Water is coming into the boat. They are facing death as a very real possibility. And they're frightened. They are scared stiff. For a moment, their eyes are away from everything else. All they can see is the wind and the wave. All they're aware of is the danger that's about them. And they ask the question in a fearful storm, Master, do you care? At the very start of our Christian life, at the very start when we're seeking the Lord, yes, we can be through a sudden, threatening, and frightening experience. We can be awakened, as we said, to our spiritual state. But we can add one other thing into it from this. We're scared to die. We're not ready to face the Lord. We haven't prepared for that eventuality. We haven't got things right in our souls, and we know it. And God has been telling us that. And as a fearful storm suddenly breaks in upon us, threatening, frightening, scaring us. That's not the kind of preaching that perhaps we hear of today. Certainly it's not the kind of preaching that is appreciated today, but this is the kind of preaching that is needed today. Because the problem we have today in our society is a laid-back mañana. Tomorrow will do. Don't get flustered. Don't get worked up. Don't get concerned about anything. Complacency. Everything seems to be going just fine. And that's the very thinking and lifestyle that has to be disturbed, because things are not fine for us and with us. If we are not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a problem of enormous proportions. And we've got to put it right quicker, sooner rather than later. And we need to be awakened. And we need to be alerted to the danger that we're in. But when we're awakened, and when we're shown ourselves and God draws back the veil and we see ourselves in a mirror, just like we did when we were coming to church this morning, we see ourselves for the first time in religious colours. We see ourselves first time as we really are. And that first gaze about ourselves, it only makes us more and more concerned about ourselves. We've got to see the real me, the real you. And when it happens, it's a fearful storm. So what else do we find here? We find the fearful storm, but we secondly find the frantic cry. The frantic cry of these men. They were, after all, seasoned fishermen. They were used to being at sea. This was their backyard. This was their workplace, their area of life. They had storms before, and they knew what storms were like. But this one was out of the ordinary. It was extreme. And there was real danger in it, beyond their experience. They had never been this place before. They had never been here before. It was beyond their experience, their knowledge, their ability. So who were they able to turn to? They couldn't turn to one of the other fishermen because they were all in the same boat, if we can put it like that. They all had the same problem. None of them could cope with this storm. And so when God is at work in our soul, and when God brings us face to face with ourselves, and He shows us what we really are out of His Word, where do we turn to and to whom can we go? We don't have an answer to the problem that God has shown us. We don't have a way out of the problem that He has painted for us. Who will we turn to? We don't have the experience, we don't have the resources, we don't have the ability. Yes, we think, well, I'll some way mug through this. Sometimes we think, yes, when it comes to me, yes, I'll get through one way or another. Sometimes we think that, well, I'll ask a great friend or a pal and he'll help me, or I'll ask the church, or I'll go to the minister. Sometimes we think that these people or these organizations can help us. We might even try to concoct our own scheme of things. Well, Lord, if I do this and if I do that, then I'll gain credit with God and I'll be safe. Lord, if you get me out of this storm, I promise I'll do this. If you get me out of this storm, I promise I'll be like this. I'll do this. I'll go there. I'll give that. And when we're in the midst of a storm, we'll make any kind of promise just to get out of it. Oh yes, we'll try anything to get out of the fearful storm. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Where will we turn to? To whom will we turn to? We can only turn to the same one as they'd turned to. We can only turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the frantic cry that they made must be the same cry that we have. Carest thou not that we perish? We are putting all our interest. We're turning all our attention. We're looking wholly and clearly and completely, 110%, we're focusing upon the Lord. There was an experience later on in Mark's Gospel in chapter 10, towards the end of that chapter, outside the city of Jericho. Blind Bartimaeus. There he was begging as Jesus was passing by. And he cried out for help. And they tried to put him down. And they tried to silence him and to distract him and say, look, the Lord is too busy to cope with the likes of you. And the more they tried, the more he shouted. Because you see, he was in a real problem. In a sense, he had the storm daily with him. He couldn't see. He couldn't see. He was blind. And out of that blindness there came that frantic cry. When the Lord stopped and the Lord says, what do you want me to do for you? Do you believe that I can do this for you? And Bartimaeus, when asked what he wanted, he says, I want my sight. These people in the boat, they wanted to be safe and to be peaceful. When God works in us and God shows us ourselves, what do we want? We want pardon and we want forgiveness. You remember the story of the publican and the sinner. The Pharisee rather and the sinner. The Pharisee went into God's house and he went in bearing himself well, holding his head up, strutting about so that people would notice that he's arrived. He took the prominent place where everybody could see him and he made sure he spoke out loud so that everybody could hear him. And he looked down his nose at the sinner. But on the other hand, that self-same sinner was afar off. And he had one simple cry. He had one simple prayer. A frantic cry. God be merciful to me, a sinner. These are the important things that we must not lose sight of. When we hear so much discussion on Christian and religious things in our nation, let's not lose the very center of the message that is important for us all. That frantic cry for salvation, for sight, for mercy. Because that kind of cry reaches the ears of God. That's the cry that stopped Jesus in his tracks outside the city of Jericho. And that's the cry the Lord delights to hear, even from the very portals of heaven, even from glory itself. The Lord listens carefully for that kind of cry coming from us, because we are aware of our need. We're aware of our danger. And we're aware that only one can save us. the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, a fearful storm. Yes, a frantic cry. But then the third thing I want to think about here is the fury that was overcome. The Lord was awakened and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." In a very effective way, he asserted his authority over the elements. And the fury was subsided and all became calm. Even the waves and the wind just dropped away to a whisper. The fury was overcome when the Lord Jesus Christ entered the situation and spoke the word. When we have a problem like we've been describing and lingering over, and when we go looking for respite and relief, when we go looking for someone to give us quietness in our soul, we can only turn to Jesus Christ, because he alone is the one who is able to give it to us. But when we pray, and when we come before him, sometimes there is not the immediate answer. Sometimes that cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Sometimes that cry, "that I might have sight." Sometimes that cry, "that I might be forgiven." It doesn't immediately have a response from the Lord. And when the delay comes, this question that we have before us this morning is all the more intense. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" But at the right time and in the right way, the Lord enters the situation in your life and mine. As he entered and was awakened to the situation here in the boat, they were questioning his love. They were questioning his care. They were questioning his interest in them. These are the thoughts that come quickly to their minds and they come quickly to ours. But see the way in which he deals with them. And it encourages us as to the way he deals with us. When he enters the situation, when the Lord comes into our life, when the Lord comes into our soul, he comes and he brings with us his arms filled with blessings for our souls. He comes and he brings with him the gift of eternal life. And he there spreads a table of good things. And he gathers us around the table and invites us to eat, to partake, to enjoy. There is there spread for us pardon and forgiveness. There is there the experience of washing away of our sins. There is there the experience of being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. There is there at the table the experience of his fellowship and his company, with neither fear nor terror intruding as they once did in the past. The very thought of eternity filled us with a fear that rattled our very bones. But when Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, we are at peace. Remember what he said to the disciples. John 16:33, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." That's what the Lord gives. Peace and pardon and forgiveness. The fury and the storm of our life is overcome. These things that were urgent and important and dominating us and focusing our thoughts. These things that crowded our lives. These things that squashed the very lifeblood out of us. Look at David in Psalm 32. My life was like a bone bleached in the noonday sun. That's the experience he had because of the conviction of sin over the sin with Bathsheba. There was not a drop of water in his life. It was dry. He had no enjoyment at all. These are other ways of describing the storm, this intense spiritual experience. But the answer to them all, no matter what words we use to describe ourselves and our experience, the answer to them all is the one that we have here. And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. The source of the storm was quietened at ease. The source of the storm in your life and mine is overcome and put at ease when Jesus speaks to us. The fury is overcome. The frantic cry is heard and answered. The fearful storm is abated. There is, in these words, a great discovery made. It is one thing for us all, and I trust that going to church and sitting underneath the ministry and listening to sermons, we know this. We know spiritual truths. We know the spiritual experiences of the Christian. We know what it is the Bible's teaching about being convicted and concerned. We know them. But do we feel them? And that's the important issue. Do we feel these things? Have we experienced? Do we know anything in our own life of this fearful storm they were going through? When you close your eyes at night and the one thing that's before you is your spiritual relationship with God, and you open your eyes in the morning and it's as if that very thought had been lying on the pillow beside you, because it's the very first thing you see when you open your eyes in the morning. That kind of persistence. When you're walking down the street and the one thing that's dominating you and controlling you is, how can I be right with God? When you think of the skeletons that are in your own cupboard, in my cupboard. These are the things that we've got to feel, not just simply know about. And when we feel them, and when we come through the storm to find Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, then we are so refreshed. We are so at rest and at peace. There's a sense of awe and wonder that God should think of me. There is that tremendous experience of forgiveness. Where once there was a storm, God has pardoned me. And again, the question we've got to close with, and the thought we've got to come to now. How has all this happened? How is this peace brought? How does God in Christ speak quietness to our soul? How does it happen? It's happened because Jesus Christ died on a cross. He died on a cross, taking the sins of his people upon himself. And he paid the penalty that was due to them. The things that caused the storm in my life, in yours, these are the very things that were put into the cup that the Lord drank out of. And he drank that cup to the full. And he drank it, and he suffered, and he endured, that not one drop should come to your lips or to mine. And because of his death and his resurrection, there is this gospel of pardon and forgiveness this morning for us. No one is lost who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. There are storms that will come, but none of these storms will ultimately bring death to us. Because so often these storms are God's way of working to alert us and to awaken us to our need. Sometimes, and he knows our character better than we know ourselves, he deals with you and I in different ways. Sometimes it's a fearful storm over many a year, and you hear of Christians testifying to the fact that they were under conviction for year after year after year. And then there's somebody else sitting beside them and they say, well, I never felt like that. And that's God working in different ways with different people. But there's always an element of this experience in everyone's testimony of being concerned and awakened to sin, of being concerned how to be right with God. And the only way we can is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let me close with perhaps the hymn that brings it all to a focus. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their waves of strife? When the strong tide lifts and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Having asked the question, the answer now comes. And the question is this our answer this morning? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. His love that took him to the cross. His love that these people were questioning, but his love that he's demonstrating time and time again to his people. He loves us with an everlasting love. Is he then our Lord, our Savior? Amen.